This is Total Retail Tech Insights.
The content retail executives need to optimize their use of technology throughout their organizations.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Total Retail Tech Insights. I'm Joe Keenan, the editor-in-chief of Total Retail. I'm pleased to be joined on this episode by Magari Jinkiri, who is the Vice President of Business Development at Celebrus. We are here at the ETAIL West Conference in Palm Springs, California, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation with Magari so we can learn a little bit more about Celebrus. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
So to get us started, I'd love for you to kind of talk through what Celebrus does and, you know, how its products and solutions can help retailers.
So our goal at Celebrus is to improve the relationships that brands have with their consumers utilizing better data, right? And we'll talk about sort of what better data means a little bit later, right? But really, since the advent of marketing, right, if you go back 70, 80, 90 years, David Ogilvy and all those marketing greats, it's marketing has always been about the right offer to the right person at the right time. And our goal is to utilize sort of data to drive to that, right? And it's obviously super, super important in 2024 with the deprecation of third-party cookies and identification just becoming much, much harder, right? And, you know, what's the role of identification for organizations and why is it important? Well, first of all, without really good identification, you can't get visitor attribution, right? You can't get personalization, right? And you can't get you can't buy paid media intelligently without really understanding the full customer profile.
Yeah, so there's obviously impact there in terms of knowing who the customer is and then being able to re-engage them, so lifetime value.
Yes.
And to your point about attribution, that marketing spend intelligently using your marketing budgets. So many different ramifications of getting that identification right. Just kind of to give some context for the audience, I know you're relatively new to Celebrus. Tell us a little bit about your professional background and kind of what brought you to Celebrus.
Oh, that's a great question. So I've been in the data analytics and data collection and optimization space for about 20 years, right? And so initially I was a consultant focused on helping organizations gather data, utilize that data for other means like personalization, predictive modeling. Spent a couple years on site at Target.com for their remodeling or their replatforming efforts. I was a consultant there managing data collection and the installation of their digital analytics platform. Spent 2 years doing that. It was the largest, I guess, e-commerce project at the time. And then kind of got more into sort of account management, business development, selling services, professional service really around kind of digital analytics and optimization, right? Recently sort of gotten into the tech side of the house, right? Co-founded a company a few years ago, focused on digital data quality. And now, you know, back to a platform and an organization that I've known really well for 10 plus years. Probably my favorite analytics platform out there, you know, far better than the Adobe and Google Analytics that I've been used to in my previous history.
So I'd love to talk a little bit specifically, you kind of gave a nice overview of the business, but one of your particular products, Celebrus Digital Analytics, tell us a little bit about that product and you know, ways that customers can potentially optimize its use.
Yes, but it's probably best for us to start with just how that platform works. So we pride ourselves on being the best digital data capture platform out there, right? Main focus and the reason why sort of organizations come to us, and you know, I've had sort of many calls this week with a customer who's has tools like an Adobe and Salesforce and others, but really with the deprecation of third-party cookies, they're having issues with identity and digital identity and being able to persist that over time, right? And so our platform and our identifiers are not deprecated as those other platforms are, Adobe and Google. And what that allows the organizations and the clients and consumers to do is basically be able to capture information in real time using a single line of code, taking that data, persisting it across sessions. So if a visitor comes, you know, today and the visitor comes back in 10 days, right, logs in on the 15th day, we can capture, persist that profile information. And with a single line of tag that I just mentioned that we use that captures more information than you can get out of Adobe or Google if you spend, you know, $200,000 a year with your consultants, you can take that rich information and pass it off to any of the attribution platforms that an organization is using, personalization platforms that they might have, or paid media, DSPs and those. And the goal there is to utilize that rich consumer profile information to provide the most relevant offer, the most relevant piece of content for that individual based off of everything that we know about them, right?
So talk a little bit about, just kind of in the follow-up to that, kind of that integration, like you said, and then the sharing and distribution of that data once you be able to identify the visitor and the customer. Because that's obviously so important, you know, that not having that data siloed and being able to, you know, take action upon it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and so I guess I'll kind of go back to the first question that you, or the earlier question that you talked about, was really digital analytics platform. So if you'd asked the founders 10 years ago, they would never have considered building an analytics platform. What you just described was the platform that they had built, right? The ability to collect data in real time, pass that information in real time to downstream platforms that will utilize the data for better predictive modeling, right? Bringing digital data next to sort of CRM and offline data, better attribution, again, in real time or batch, sending that information and personalization, right? Being able to really put the right offer in front of the right person because we understand the interest levels, right? And so that was actually the DNA of the platform, but really around digital analytics, it was pretty simple, right? Google rolled out a platform and it's had a lot of issues, right, over the years. And so, you know, in talking to customers and talking to clients and talking to consultants, you know, they just kept complaining over and over again. It was a GA4 rollout for people who've been involved for many years, said it was the worst rollout that it had ever seen of a platform. It was missing data, missing reporting. A lot of the features they would build out were not backwards compatible. So when they made updates, it broke. And so we thought we could sort of layer the identity we have, the data collection, and the contextual data model that we have that allows us to quickly integrate with downstream systems and build a digital analytics platform that has the exact same look and feel as Google Analytics Universal, which is the Google Analytics that people loved, even with the same style sheets and color. But being able to provide that to the market was something that we thought was really important.
So tell us in your conversations with retailers, and it could be here at this show, just in general, the pain points that they're experiencing when it comes to, you know, we talked a little bit about deprecation of third-party cookies, evolving consumer behaviors, what that means for, you know, their data collection, data identification efforts. What are the challenges that you're hearing?
I would say, and I was talking to the team a little bit about this earlier, the number one challenge we hear is around identity, right? And if we're going sort of a layer deep, going back to what I talked about previously, is attribution. So I've had, you know, conversations with chief growth officers here, I've had conversations with digital marketers, and, you know, the lack of identity, as I mentioned, sort of breaks a bunch of different use cases, but obviously being here at a retail event with a bunch of marketers, they're heavily focused on really understanding attribution. And, you know, in a situation where identity is broken, where the attribution that we have is going to be heavily focused on what's happened most recently, last click. And we know there's obviously been a lot of money that's been put into paid search because of kind of faulty analysis. But without that full customer, 360-degree view of the customer, organizations are going to have a really tough time allocating budget. And if you have a tough time allocating budget, you're going to have a tough time seeing the results you want to see.
Yeah, and that was that attribution piece, particularly as there's more acquisition channels in play here. So you think about, you know, paid social as well, and all the different acquisition channels, that becomes critical as marketing, as acquisition costs continue to rise, particularly digital acquisition costs, spending money wisely becomes even more critical. And that's something you're hearing a lot from probably the retail marketers that you're speaking with.
Yes, and if we look across our client base, the clients that we have, and we've got specific examples in retail and others, utilize our platform and connect it to attribution. They've actually made their paid media spend more efficient.
Yeah.
So they're spending less, they're seeing an increase in sales, they're seeing an increase in profitability. And that's something that we see sort of across the board for anyone who's utilizing our information.
And then that customer is then able to, again, be re-engaged, and you create that lifetime value too. It's not just getting there with first acquisition, but creating that lifetime relationship, building that customer lifetime value as well.
Yes, that's absolutely it. So I think one of the pieces also important is most of the brands out there do not have the luxury of only being able to finalize a sale in a single session, right? So people, there's research, there's awareness, people come back. So it's really important to, one, understand the drivers for the purchase, being able to really understand reallocation to drive lifetime value, as you mentioned. And you can then sort of choose the channel that you want to re-engage. Is it an email? Do you want to sort of pop a banner on a landing page? Is there a phone call that you might have? And so I know it's specific to retail, and most people here are trying to reduce call center costs, but financial services want to be able to put that information information in front of the individuals who are going to reach out and call so somebody creates an account or buys a mortgage.
Yeah, and to your point about this, particularly with higher ticket items, it's generally multiple visits, multiple touch points before they're going to convert. So learning about that behavior, super helpful and super insightful as they look to build that relationship. In your conversations with retailers, can you talk a little bit about why getting that digital reporting right is so crucial to their businesses?
Yeah, it's the lifeblood of the business, and the organization is going to be utilizing that information to make decisions. And getting that reporting right, because that reporting is not centralized, right? It's disseminated amongst the organization. There is the expectation that, you know, the marketers who, you know, are involved with merchandising are going to be looking at this information. So accurate data is really important, right? And so, you know, one of the things that we've sort of realized as a differentiator between us and others is, you know, you have a single line of code and then you never touch that code again, right? And for the other tools that I've sort of worked with for 15 plus years, there's two issues organizations always have, right? Spend a lot of money on instrumentation and implementation, and that data inevitably breaks, right? JavaScript is relatively brittle. You know, organizations are trying to be as agile as possible and, you know, moving buttons around and adding new features and building new landing pages, right? And that data inevitably breaks. Kind of with our platform, you're not ever going to hear, oh, you know, we built this new landing page and the data is missing, right? There's no concept of missing data because the data will always be there. And the hundreds of data points that we collect on sort of every page, including, you know, scrolls, mouse overs, and form interactions, are all going to be there for you.
That's actually a good follow-up in terms of use the example of you've created this new landing page. It's just literally a simple line of code that they're able to drop into that page, then is able to collect and identify. It's that simple.
Absolutely, that's simple.
So what are retailers, you've talked a little bit about, Gregory, the death of third-party cookies and what that potentially means to the future of retail marketing. What are your thoughts there? What really actions can they take? What should retailers be thinking about? Because that's coming.
Yeah, and so I would say, you know, I think it was interesting. I think we missed the boat with some of our messaging and communication about a year or so ago because we thought, you know, most organizations would see impending doom and make changes to the way they're actually collecting first-party data, and that's not been the case. But, you know, obviously with what's going on with the browsers actually following through with it, we're actually now starting to see organizations, you know, moving quickly and just being really panicked about, you know, about what they want to do. And so that's historically, you didn't really have to worry about accuracy for first party cookies. You didn't have to worry about accuracy for first party data, right? You could have a really bad digital data and then just go buy third party data to buy media and build your sort of bad profile. But in this day and age, without the ability of really buying semi accurate third party cookies, there's nothing you can really do.
And how about as you think about, you know, because it's paramount to the privacy, you know, consumer privacy, and thinking about protecting that. Retailers, obviously, they want to have their relationship, but they also want to respect their customers' privacy. Tell us a little bit about how that factors into the identification process and what you think about that at Celebris.
Yeah, so obviously it makes it a lot harder, right? Had a conversation earlier with a gentleman, and, you know, from their perspective, there's a banner, they pop a banner, and they're collecting information, and then if you click no, then you're not going to be collecting any information. That's not really GDPR compliant. So what's coming in the future is you're not supposed to collect information until somebody clicks accept. So one of the things we've thought about, and from our perspective, where we're trying to think about what you want to do if somebody says no, and the organization is GDPR compliant, so we built this platform called CX Vault. What CX Vault does is it captures no data, no information, but uses machine learning from information we've collected about previous visitors, and then allows an organization to actually deliver personalization without sending any information to us. It's all contextual and in the browser. So we think we have a pretty good solution for at least intelligently changing content that you see on a web page if somebody does not allow you to collect information and data.
Similar to what you would expect or see with a lookalike audience where I'm reaching out and targeting this specific segment because consumers have shown similar behavior.
That's exactly it. So you've come to this page and previously we've seen people have some sort of behavior that we can model off of, and then we can push the right content to that person.
And that could be their source of traffic, what they, you know, could be search, mm-hmm. could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I want to take the opportunity to thank Gregory Jinkiri, who is the Vice President of Business Development at Celebris, for joining us on this episode of Total Retail Tech Insights. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at mytotalretail.com/podcasts for show notes. Total Retail Tech Insights is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Tech Insights.